we need a Bachelor video game. The Bachelor video game, because the TV show is not enough. There is not enough Bachelor. You cannot put enough Bachelor in that television box. Because they're not boxes anymore. They're just kind of flat panels. But maybe if it was a box, you could put enough. But you can't put enough in there. You can't contain this. It's got to go to your Wii and your DS. For when you're on the go and you have to have your Bachelor fix. Eat it up.
Breathe, breathe, you know? Brett. Breathe, breathe for me.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
You need a paper bag.
I'm good.
Okay.
Put on his head.
If you play with your Wii too much, I hear you'll go blind.
Welcome to the H2MMO podcast. Video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the H2MMO podcast. I am your host, Mike B, and H2MMO.com is of course where we have video game reviews, MMO news, and more, like E3. Today is July 10th, right?
Yes,
it is.
July
10th, yes.
July 10th, 2010, 3 days after I said that StarCraft II was coming out. And I was actually speaking to somebody that works at the, that stop for games. And StarCraft II was originally slated to come out on the 7th, but because, Blizzard will, release no game before its time, they delayed it 20 days. So we're left waiting.
Surprised?
You know what?
No, I'm Blizzard. Not. Brett?
I was just going to say Blizzard can go to hell, but, you know, I'm kidding. I love you, Blizzard. Marry me.
This coming from the guy who won't play WoW.
I did play WoW, if you'll remember, just not much.
No. You know, I have a priest, an undead priest. You were playing an undead mage, though. Trish has an undead
Correct.
Mage. And it's like level 60-some-odd. And how far did you get?
27? 20? I can't remember.
Really? Wow, okay.
20-something. It was in the 20s. 24, 25, maybe.
Well, anyway, as you all can hear, we have, of course, our co-hosts, lead blogger, Brett S.
That's me.
Mr. Wow Hater. Uh-huh. Mr. Wow Hater there.
I just hate you. I don't hate Wow.
And then Brandon Y, of course.
How's it going, everyone?
So what have we been up to lately? Well, hello. I put my pre-order in for StarCraft II.
Just now?
Not just now. Earlier this morning. I mean, I didn't do it just like, you know, 30 seconds ago.
Oh, damn. I've had mine in for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm broadcasting this from the stop for games.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because they, want to help us out. Not really, but because they have their own website and probably their own podcast, not that I listen to it, but not after they give like Red Dead Redemption at 11. Like, hello? So what have we been up to in the world of video gamery, guys?
You know, I haven't played much lately. I've just been playing a lot of older... Well, I've been playing some Wii games, some WiiWare games that are somewhat new, but in terms of new releases, I haven't played much.
If you play with your Wii too much, I hear you'll go blind.
Well, my... Okay. I got nothing. I got nothing for that. I have
Oh, my God.
All right, well, let's talk PC games, so... Most times, we don't get to talk too much about the PC genre.
We don't.
So, I actually went to a Stardock game called Sins of the Solar Empire Trinity.
I played Sins of the Solar Empire when it first came out. That was a long time ago. It feels like a long time ago.
Correct, it has. It was. And since then, there's been two expansions added to it.
Uh-huh.
There's been Entrenchment and Diplomacy. So, and just recently, they made even more updates to it, where they added some new AI difficulties in the mm-hmm. in the field where we've had up to five of our friends playing at once against one AI, and we've been getting our butts handed to us.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, he's been just one AI computer has been handing it to us over and over.
And you and your brother now, you guys play like epic RTS matches on insane difficulties all the time anyway, don't you?
Correct, we do.
And because I've played with you guys and I literally, God, what's that one game that you play all the time? The Empire Earth or whatever?
Empire Earth.
Yeah, just I can't keep up. Yeah. I cannot keep up. And I don't know if it's you guys know the build cues or you have like extra fingers to click more mouse buttons. I don't know what it is, but I can't keep up. And you're telling me that one AI opponent is handing you your lunch.
Yep. Against five of us who play RTS quite often.
Wow. That's kind of impressive.
I heard the game was difficult, but that makes me want to vomit. Like that's ridiculous.
It's difficult, but it's actually quite fun.
When I played it was kind of slow. Is it still kind of slow?
It depends on what you're playing against. If you're playing against a normal or an easy computer, yeah, it's slow. It depends on how big your map is.
Well, it takes a long time to get from one place to another, doesn't it?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. So they boosted the travel times?
Yeah, they tweaked the planetary travel quite mm-hmm. a bit.
Oh, that's
so you still have it, but they made it a little bit faster and easier to maneuver.
Well, that's good. I that was one of the things that got me was that you'd have a planet, you'd have a system. The map's based on solar systems, right?
Correct.
So you'd have a base in one solar system and a base in another solar system, and one of them would get attacked, and your fleet would be somewhere else, and then I'd try to get my fleet over there, and they're just beating the hell out of my base the whole time. Like my little dudes are like traveling across the map, and it's just like, okay, I know galactic distances are huge, but it's a video game. Please.
You still have that sometimes where you're on the other side of the galaxy
mm-hmm.
or solar system fighting. You'll get that. But you get at some points where you're in five different solar systems, or you have five different solar systems you can play in.
Wow. And you have to wormhole from one solar system to another?
Yeah, wormhole or star jump, things like that.
Wow. And this is what you've been playing, and this is your review as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, launch right into the review then. Like, what is it? What's the good, bad, indifferent?
It's actually it's very good, especially with the change to the AI. I mean, when it says cheater, it's a cheater. The new ones are cruel, unfair, and vicious. And vicious is the one AI by itself that will own us every time.
Wow. They've been cheating with the AI and Civ for years. Like, it's nice to see that the concept is spread. No, it's not really nice. It's not nice at all. I don't like playing video games to get owned.
But at least it tells you it's a cheater.
You know it up front.
Yeah, up front, and you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to get it. It's a cheater.
Cheaters never win unless you're the AI.
But okay. It's really nice because the game also, besides the AI difficulty and the overall expansion and the new enhancements to the game, like diplomacy, where you can actually share your tech knowledge with your teammates. You can also, like I said, the maps are massive. You can make your own maps. It's just really impressive. It does have some glitches to it. Like one of the things that we found is that whenever you're playing online multiplayer,
mm-hmm.
when you're first creating a game, when people try to join, every person who joins your game, it's crashing on us every time.
Wow.
At least once, but then after you crash once for that person, it's fine. So five people, it's going to crash four times because one's the host, but then you just go back into it and hey, you're all good.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a bug they still need to fix. So hopefully they'll have that done.
I didn't. Now, Stardock, these are the guys that also did Demigod, and I have that, but I haven't played it in quite a while, and I haven't played it on the new computer, and I really should because that game is beautifully rendered.
It looks good.
And so is exactly. They do really good with their background renderings. Like this right here is all space, but the planets are really really detailed. Everything's really detailed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they do a really good job, especially when you zoom up really close to the ships. You can see minute detail of it. It's really nice.
That's cool. All right, well, is there anything else cool that you want to say about Sins of a Solar Empire?
That's it. It's a great game to play with friends online. I mean, it's free to play.
Crashy bit.
Yeah, but it's only when you first create a game, so yeah, it takes a little bit off it, but the game itself is very stable.
That's good. All right, well, what do you give it? Like,
I give it about an 8.5 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. Okay, that's fantastic. Brett, you've been awfully quiet there in the background.
I sure have. I don't know why.
You're probably up to no good.
Well, yes. I'm wandering the neighborhood and kidnapping children.
Wow, thanks.
Again?
That's what I do on my Saturdays. Look, you know.
Thanks for sharing. Watch me edit that part out.
You better leave that in.
You know me. When I say I'm going to edit something out, I usually leave it in.
Yeah.
Well, what have you been playing? What have you been playing lately, and what are you going to review for us?
Well, I'm going to review Alan Wake. It's it's a game that was supposed to come out 5 years ago, and they finally came out with it, and it was beyond well worth the wait. I mean, I may go so far as to say it's the best game this year so far I've played.
Really?
I'm sorry. Mass Effect 2 would hold that title, but it's a close second.
Better than God of War?
God of War wasn't that. I mean, it was
you
good.
You are
but,
a
I
heathen
mean,
and a non-believer, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, you didn't like Red Dead. In fact, neither you did, so.
Well, yeah, that's
we will
true.
Fight.
That's
but, no,
can we have brutalities?
If I get an animality and you can have your brutality and maybe somebody can get a babality and a friendship as well.
And for those of you who don't know, yeah, that's a Mortal Kombat reference or 5 or 6 Mortal Kombat references.
Yeah, there's that new one coming out.
Oh yeah, okay. We're going to talk all about the upcoming games from E3 and all of that stuff as soon as we can get our reviews out of the way.
Yeah.
Alan Wake,
we'll
please.
Two-hour E3. Well, you know, they mentioned Stephen King within the first sentence of the game, and it's obvious that he inspired a lot of – his writing inspired a lot of the game. It's about a writer who, you know, is actually going to this idyllic little town.
Psychedelic?
Psychedelic. to get his muse back.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, he should have followed that advice before the game started. But what unfolds is just this dark, dark story, and literally dark. I mean, it's darkness takes over the whole friggin' town, and he's trying to fight it by he puts himself in his own story because it's really complicated and convoluted, but it makes sense if you play the game. But
He writes himself into whatever's happening in this town, I've heard.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's a writer writing himself, which is a trope that's been used, well, it's not a trope, but it's a theme. Maybe it is a trope. I don't know. It's a theme that's been used, in film.
Yes.
Several times, that I'm aware of. And so he does the same thing?
Yeah. And again, it's you know, spoilers and whatnot, so I won't say exactly what's going on. But it's funny you mentioned film because the game, obviously, the creators, you know, Remedy, they obviously wanted a TV story, a TV show feel. You know, each chapter is an episode. They're called episodes, and they said, oh yeah, this first game is the first season, and there's going to be, I think, 2 downloadable little mini expansions that are going to be kind of like you might see a special on TV in between, you know, seasons 1 and 2 to bridge them together. And that's mm-hmm. what they're going to be. So, and they obviously plan on making a sequel, which, oh wow, I hope they do, because I have not just sat down and gotten engrossed in a game like this since Mass Effect, I don't think.
Okay.
And that was, anyway.
But my question is that I like to play, you know, usually like a big, beefy, brawler-type kind of character. Why would I want to play a scrawny little writer? I mean, I know he's got a flashlight. Yeah, is that well, what you get?
He like, sure has a flashlight.
I see you in my light.
Don't come any closer or I will flick it on and off. I don't know why I'm French.
Well, there's plenty of combat. There, yeah, I don't either. That's a little, you've been watching too much Monty Python.
Monty Python, yeah.
That's the Holy Grail. You know, there's actually a lot of combat. I mean, a lot of it. You know, the pacing is absolutely fantastic because there's rarely a dull moment. You're either running for your life from the darkness, or I think they're called the Taken, from the Taken, or you're just fighting them off, you know, wave by wave. You know, you get stuff. The flashlight is just kind of like your all-purpose weapon. It's like your pistol in any first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. You run out of batteries. You need to make sure you conserve the batteries for it. You know, and it weakens them, so you can kill them with the actual weapons, which are revolvers, shotguns, rifles, flare guns. I have to say the flashbangs, which are, you know, they're always used in games as like just like a distraction thing. They're actually weapons in this. They're like grenades. So you throw a flashbang into a group of five and they all die. And nice. It's
well, yeah,
awesome.
A flashbang close enough will hurt.
Yeah,
well, but these guys are in this game. They're made out of like pure darkness, though, right?
Yeah, they're complete evil, you know, and darkness. And I'll tell you what, the things they say, you know, I can find some clips for you guys on YouTube or something. They say completely innocuous things, but it's so creepy the way they say it. You know, you wouldn't think. There was one point where I was running through the game, and a possessed park ranger, jumped out at me with an axe and said, "You can learn about nature and yourself." And it sounds really funny and weird, but it scared the crap out of me. Because, you know, the idea behind these things.
Yeah, the park ranger coming out of nowhere saying, "You can learn about nature and yourself," scares me too.
Yeah. Like, how did you know about me and myself? Don't tell.
You can watch me doing nature.
But, well, the idea behind these things is they're just – there's a quote they used. It was, you know, they're so much flesh stretched over empty darkness or whatever. And the whole thing is the only reason they're saying these weird, inane things is because that's all they can say, because that's all they have left of their own memory or whatever. So in that context, it's creepy. And, you know, the game just is creepy and mysterious and compelling. I guess I would say.
Sounds kind of like, you know, going back to like Resident Evil 2, like when you were in that police station or whatever, and you were standing there at the hallway, and you knew from the first game that hallways were bad, and a skinless dog was going to jump out at you. So you're standing there, and you're playing, I guess, Chris Redfield or whatever. I mean, you're the cop, you've got the gun.
Leon.
Leon, okay, so you're playing Leon. And you get to this hallway, and you just come from, like, the locker room or whatever, so you had to beat off a zombie there. And in the earlier Resident Evil games, you know, it wasn't, you know, hordes of zombies. It was just one. I mean, and it would scare the crap out of you. You know, and you'd see these things being set up, and you'd get that sinking feeling in your stomach, but then you'd go down the hallway, and then they'd jump out at you, and you'd get really scared, and you'd fight, and you'd kill them, and then you'd feel really good until you turned the corner and saw another hallway. but it sounds kind of like that they've really created a game that goes back and captures, you know, that kind of vibe.
I could definitely see. I'd agree with that. It's more in terms of the general feel and atmosphere. It's more like Silent Hill. There's a lot of fog and you know, you're in the woods a lot. But they do going with what you were saying. They also mix it up because there are some points where you just have to run or. You know, you'll get into a crash and you'll lose all your stuff, and then you have to, you know, find new stuff while you're trying to escape from them. And you know, there's all sorts of things like that. And it was fun the entire way through. There were two parts where I was like, "F this game, I'm done," because it was so ridiculously irritating. But when you get past that, it's actually, you know, a phenomenal game. So
okay, and you know, what system?
Music,
I'm sorry, music.
Well, I was just going to say the music, everything, you know, the music, the voice acting, the actual soundtrack, because, you know, there are the songs they pick, you know, like by actual bands, and then there's the actual, you know, composed soundtrack and all the, yeah, the score, there you go. And the graphics and the lighting effects and everything, it just combines to make a ridiculously good game. Now, you were saying.
I totally forgot. After you made me say score, I totally forgot.
No idea. Out of the gutter.
Silent Hill, like, I remember playing Silent Hill back in the day, and for some reason, I hated Silent Hill.
And well, we know it's not a some reason. You told us before it's because you want to fight and, you know, kill things instead of running away.
And you start that game with a board. How are you going to fight a demon with a board?
I think it's yeah.
Where in the Catholic exorcism manual does it say thou shalt fight the demon with the board? A board.
7, verse 6.
A stick. Can't fight the unholy with a stick.
That's what adds to the creepiness of that game. You're thinking, oh crap, I have nothing, and I'm fighting like, you know, Hellspawn. So
I am from the school of the firm conviction that enough bullets into anything will usually solve the problem.
Well,
I could be wrong.
You haven't fought too many demons, which I have in real life, so whatever.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So what do you give Alan Wake, like, in the end?
It's the second game in this year that I've given a 10 out of 10. The review's up on the site. It is perfect, in my opinion.
Wow, really? Perfect.
Yeah. It's, you know, I gave that and Mass Effect 2 a 10 out of 10. I don't think I even gave Assassin's Creed 2 a 10 out of 10, if I remember correctly, but.
Wow, that's impressive.
Seems silly, because Assassin's Creed 2, yeah. Yeah, it's. I would recommend it for anyone who has an. Oh, that's what you were asking. You were saying asking what system it was on. It's on the Xbox 360, and I believe it's either being ported or it's already ported to the PC, if I remember correctly. But it's not on the PlayStation 3 or the Wii.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah,
fantastic.
Okay. Another one of those Xbox exclusives.
Yeah, you know, they know when to go to the good one.
Bill Gates can. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so
hey, go ahead.
No. I'm not going to say it. We all know what I mean, but I'm not going to say it.
While you're at it, you can threaten the president. You know.
I was just going to say he could bite me, but I'm not going to threaten the president over a video game unless he beats me a video game. Like then.
Yeah.
Then maybe, you know, there might be some trash talk. But you're off the hook. You're talking about kidnapping children and threatening the president. Did you take your medication today?
I took too much of it, probably.
Well, you know what? Because what I've been playing in my review will cure what ails you. Because I have been playing Transformers War for Cybertron. And
what's this Transformers you speak of?
Well, for those of you who grew up in, I don't know, a little decade called the 80s, there was a cartoon about some robots from another planet that...
They were normally in disguise.
They were in disguise. They would dress up as, you know, tourists or doctors. No, you had the Autobots and the Decepticons.
That's terrible.
The cartoon was, of course, it was cheesy because everything from the 80s is cheesy. Except for maybe Chariots of Fire. But the idea behind this game is that instead of taking them in that setting where they're here on Earth, like the movies have done, and the two recent movies have done a very good job. But this video game goes all the way back to Cybertron before they ever left. And it's the civil war between the Decepticons led by Megatron and the Autobots, who end up being led by Optimus Prime. The game, actually starts you out with the Decepticon campaign, which it's broken down into 10 chapters. 1 through 5 are the Decepticon, chapters, the Decepticon campaign. And then 5 through 10 is kind of the Autobot response to that. And when you start playing that, of course, me being me, I couldn't start with chapter 1 because that would be stupid. I started with chapter 5 because that was the Autobots. And Optimus Prime is not Optimus Prime. He's just Optimus. And then it goes through the whole storyline. I don't want to give anything away, but by the end of it, he's Optimus Prime. And it's a look at them in their native environment, and it's war-torn and ravaged. And they're just going at each other back and forth. And the campaign is really kind of short. It only takes maybe about 10 hours to get through it. But it's fun. It's a primer. You get to play some of the Autobots. You can play, Optimus, Bumblebee, Ironhide, Ratchet, quite a few of Jetfire, just quite a few of the of the named characters from both sides. You can play as Megatron, Shockwave. I think one mission you can be Starscream. One of my favorite voice actors, Jay Blum, who did Spike in Cowboy Bebop on the anime, and who also has done a ton of video games, plays in
everything.
This one.
He's
Jay Blum?
Everything.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he's every voice in everything that's ever existed at this point.
Right, right, right. He is doing this podcast right now. This is not actually us that you're hearing. This is Jay Blum's just reading the entire thing.
He was even the friggin' voice of the 7-Eleven commercials at one point. I mean, he's in everything.
Oh, really?
He's like Samuel L. Jackson for TV
nerds.
Shows and video games.
Like,
he is good, though.
I think the guy Full Metal Alchemist, the little blonde-headed guy, Edward.
Ed?
I think the guy that does that voice is in this as well, is in Transformers as well. I'm not sure. I'm not going to swear on it. And then, of course, what's the guy's name that does Optimus Prime? Is it Peter Welker?
Peter, yeah.
Not Weller, not Peter Weller. That's the actor.
No.
But anyway, the guy that did the original Optimus Prime voice,
Frank Welker.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's got a K in it. And so he comes back and he does Optimus. It's not the same Megatron guy, but whatever. But it is the same Optimus voice, and that is just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when you load the game up and it starts, you know, it does the whole cutscene at the beginning, and it's like, Cybertron, for generations our world has been a peaceful, you know, and it's him talking, and it's just like, oh, yeah. So the campaign is a primer for the multiplayer, like literally. And the multiplayer, when I first stepped in, I stepped into like a death match. So it was everybody against everybody, and got my butt handed to me. Was just like, hi, thanks for playing, come again.
How it was whenever you handed it to me.
Exactly. Because you were over, yeah. You and then I think my brother were over, and we were all just taking turns playing that. And my favorite multiplayer match in that game has got to be the Conquest, which is a capture the node kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the multiplayer is, I can't talk fast enough to tell you how frenzied and insane that multiplayer is. Okay,
oh, that's so damn fun.
You spawn. There's a node right in front of you, so you transform into a truck or a car or an airplane, and you zip over to the node, you capture the node, and all your buddies are there. Maybe one runs off to snipe or do something. And so then you capture that node, and then you rush to the middle one, and like all of you, and then you get separated, and then you're transforming, and then you see a guy, and you untransform back into your robot, and you start shooting, and then he starts shooting back at you, so you transform back into your vehicle form, and you take off, and it's just this massive, like, back and forth, and it's only 10 people, but it is so much fun.
It's very fast-paced when you fight like that. This game is very, very fast-paced in its interaction.
Yeah.
they called it a high action third person shooter, and normally when you know people start talking, you know, like we're gonna label this something new and different, it's because you've got to sell something and you ain't got nothing to sell, so you make up an adjective. No, these guys, they actually, like, this is a high action third person shooter. Like, oh my god, I tend to play the scientist class, the airplane guys who can also heal. And I can literally, if I know the map, be all over the board in 2 seconds. I can be all the way to the other side of the map. You know, now, of course, I can get shot down or lots of other bad things can happen. But it's just really, really fun. And playing the game as one Transformer, as one class, is not quite the same as playing it as another class with a different transformable, a different vehicle form. So playing
exactly.
What were you going to say?
I said exactly. I mean, I prefer the soldier myself.
The tank. They transform into tanks.
Yeah, and it's pretty great. When you're in the tank mode, you're driving through, shooting with a tank cannon, all of a sudden you get right up in there, transform, come in with a nice melee swing, and heck out two or three, and transform right back and keep on going.
Yeah, and you know, the whole idea of being able to transform, one, the transformations were done so well. You can transform on the fly in less than a second. You can jump into the air, hit the transform button, and then just like you're going. You're either on the road or up in the air, and you're gone. They implemented that feature so well, and then when you put that feature into the multiplayer, you know, this is not Call of Duty where you're like, you know, oh, how many grenades do I got? And okay, do I got enough ammo clips? And like, this is like, I have a laser rifle and I'm flying 100, you know, yards above you and I'm swooping in at max speed. And then when I get to the ground, instead of slamming into it, I'm just going to transform into a robot and keep beating on you. It's nuts. It is nuts. Great way to spend the summer. I gave it an 8.25 out of 10. It's not an 8, but it's not like an 8.5, you know. It's not an innovative game, but my God, is it fun. It's just fun. Like, it's just fun.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say. And it's been so long since you get a hold, since I've gotten a hold of a game like that, and it's so rare that you get a hold of a game where, like, you're not going to nitpick it apart and tear it apart because it's just fun. Everything that they did pulls together into just a big ball of fun. So, like, I'm definitely, this is probably the best Transformers game that anybody's ever come out with yet. And then I hope, you know, they do something with it. I mean, there's lots of things they could do to expand on this foundation. And I wish them the best and I hope they do it. So
I definitely want to give it a rent. It looks a lot of fun.
Oh, it is. Let me know so that I can come and pwn you.
Oh, yeah. It was quite enjoyable to play and watch.
Well, on July 5th, Brandon and my brother were over, and I had some work to do on the PC, and I was just like, here, play this. And just threw the controller at them, and they just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. All afternoon. It was fun. It was really good fun. So anyway, whew. All right, now that I've gotten that out of my system.
There goes half our show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The E3, that lots of stuff, when the last time we recorded, E3 was ending, and we're doing a Saturday show today instead of our normal Sunday show, and we have to catch up on all this E3 news. So what do we have coming down the pike with E3 that we've got to look forward to?
Well, first off, can I just say that Nintendo owned every other company?
I have heard
with
this.
You know, I watched a good portion of the entire, all of the proceedings, and, you know, all these friggin' companies had, like, oh, here's our new stupid motion control BS, and or here's our two new games we're coming out with for the entire year. And Nintendo, which, as you know, is well known for coming out with two games a year, if that, you know, they're like Blizzard, they take their time. They came up and they're like, hey, you know those 10 old games that you love and used to love as a kid? Well, they all have sequels now. Oh, and remember those games we've been talking about? Well, they're all coming out this year. Oh, and here's a remake of GoldenEye, and just like all these things, they came out. I was floored.
Breathe, you know? Brett. Breathe for me.
I'm okay. I'm okay. It's
you need a paper bag.
I'm good.
Okay.
Put it on his head.
So there's my.
So finally, the GoldenEye. Do we know when that's going to release?
I don't recall them mentioning a date. You know, it was a preliminary little teaser trailer that just showed. Basically, it was just an announcement trailer. But man, if it's half as good as GoldenEye, I'll be happy.
Well, this is got Daniel Craig in it. It's based on the Daniel Craig, the more edgier, newer Bond, and it's an updated remake of this classic shoot 'em up or shoot not shoot 'em up shooter. Yeah. Shoot 'em up is a different kind of game. I just totally derailed right there. Talk about GoldenEye.
Well, just nobody even knew about this. And people have been saying for years, well, why hasn't Nintendo released, GoldenEye for the Virtual Console? Because, you know, they re-released Perfect Dark, which is the same company that made GoldenEye. You know, it was almost a sequel spiritually, anyways, to GoldenEye. And, people have been saying, why haven't they released this on Virtual Console or some kind of a new version with the Wii controls, and nobody could figure out why, and now it's obvious because they were working on a new game entirely. The game looks, I mean, graphically, of course, it doesn't look fantastic because it's on the Wii, but gameplay-wise, it could be really, really good. And it looks like they've changed a lot of... You can tell they have the same level design, but they've changed the objectives and things like that, and it's more story-driven and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it quite a bit.
All right, and I think there was a big write-up in that magazine that if you were a pro at games, you might read it. They had a big article about it as well. So, okay, so that's from E3. Metroid, you wanted to talk a little bit about Metroid?
Yeah, Metroid Other M, which I'm sure most of you nerds listening know about it already, but it's a new game, you know, the Metroid series, which I love that those games, but it's not made by Nintendo. It's like half Nintendo, half Team Ninja, and Team Ninja, of course, they did Dead or Alive and Ninja Gaiden, which both those series are good. You know, I don't need to say anything about those because everyone knows those. It's much more story driven. I mean, much more story-driven, you know. And I like it because it incorporates the past three Metroids for the Wii, or I should say GameCube and Wii, were, you know, first-person shooters. And nobody thought that was a good idea when they did it because it's always been a side-scroller, but they turned out to be really, really awesome games. And, you know, they're incorporating that into the 2D gameplay they have. It just looks like an insanely good combination of a couple of game styles, and I'm looking forward to, like, they had the new trailer, and even though it didn't show anything new or announce anything new, I was more excited for that than most other games they showed that were new. So that's this year, so I'm really looking forward to that when it comes out.
I just want to know what the other M stands for.
People are speculating that it might be some kind of alternate universe or alternate timeline or something like that.
Oh, I thought it was just a name, like Mabel or Mary, or isn't the protagonist a chick? Like,
yeah,
yes, her name is Samus. They haven't said, but people are saying, like, maybe it's because maybe.
You know, I remember playing Metroid back when in the side scroll days, and I don't remember seeing any side scroll boobies.
Well, when you beat the game, she jumps out of her suit, and let me tell you something.
Lie.
If she did.
Which game?
Yeah. All of them, every single one. If you beat it in the right amount of time, anyways, I guess you didn't do it.
I think you're pulling my leg. I should look.
No, I'm not.
Look it up on the Googles.
Brandon, back me up on this one.
I don't remember the old ones, but I know the newer one did.
Yeah, they've all ever since like the Nintendo one, the Super Nintendo one. If you beat it in like under 3 hours or whatever, she at the end of the game, you know, when it's like the "you won" thing. She jumps out of her suit and she's in her little whatever outfit, because the outfits are different in each game.
She's in the outer suit, yeah.
Yeah, because with that remake of the first game for Game Boy, it was the Zero suit, because it's called Metroid Zero or Zero Mission, and that's been her you know, out of armor suit since then. But otherwise, she just has a random outfit on every time. Otherwise,
what is it with you and digital chicks? You're just always bringing this podcast down into the gutter. I mean, it's not like I talk about like digital chicks running around killing monsters in their bra and panties or anything.
God of War boobies.
I've never talked about that. Or God of War boobies. Like, I mean, I couldn't tell you exactly, you know, like that when you're in Olympus and then you go into Aphrodite's bedroom after you fight Hermes. I couldn't even talk about that. I wouldn't even know anything about it.
Just sure you would.
Just saying. Brandon, save us. from E3, what did you see that caught your eye?
All right, well, actually, the one I originally put down is Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal Nuke. For those of you who are not familiar with Twisted Metal, I don't know who couldn't be. But
well, yeah, I would say tell them to get out of the podcast, but that's me.
Okay, fine. I'm going. No, I played Twisted Metal back on the was it the PlayStation? The original PlayStation?
It was PlayStation 1,
yeah.
PlayStation 2,
oof.
And now PlayStation 3.
Wow.
The new one. Twisted Metal, not only are you get to drive around in cars and you get to shoot everything like this, but they've expanded it. Now you have additional features for the cars and your abilities and as the driver. I mean, you can even get into helicopters. You can getting to motorcycles and a whole bunch of different things. But one of the best things that's always been about Twisted Metal is that you can destroy the town.
Yes.
You can destroy everything in the town.
In an ice cream truck.
In an ice cream truck, in a car, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things I've seen.
Did you guys
this
see,
one
by
that,
the way, did you see the their on stage thing that they did?
Yes, they came out with the clown.
They actually had a guy. In the Sweet Tooth mobile, dressed as Sweet Tooth, the creepy clown with the flaming head. It was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Now, was David Jaffe involved in this or not?
Yes.
He was.
Yes.
I thought he said he wasn't at one point before E3.
If you look at the stuff, he is in here. He's even doing interviews with it.
Oh.
You look at the E3 videos, yeah.
Okay, so I guess I don't know why he was denying it beforehand.
They definitely.
He might not have started with, but they probably brought him in got him to come.
Because after God of War 1, and they put him on a different project, he didn't come back for God of War 2, and then everybody for God of War 2 was like, where's David Jaffe? Well, obviously, he was hanging out with Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
Obviously. All right. Okay. Well, was there anything else from E3 that you saw that you really liked?
Well, one off one that I like, I don't know if y'all watch it, but Man vs. Wild. Bear Giles.
Really?
That. Oh, yes. They are coming out with him as a game.
That's that's insane. What's the premise?
Survival. You get kicked out, you gotta parachute down or whatever. You gotta go survive and get out through the wild. So that looked quite interesting.
Next thing you know, they're gonna have a video game where you have to go out and do your resume and get a job and. Oh, that sounds like fun. Fun.
So that looked interesting. I like Bear Giles.
Mm.
So, I think that might be quite interesting.
All right.
There's one more.
What?
Zelda.
Oh, yes.
Skyward Sword. This is the reason. Zelda is the reason I got a Wii to begin with.
Right, right. Twilight Princess.
I have always been a huge Zelda fan. It was the very first Nintendo game I played.
Yes.
Even before Mario, it was Zelda.
Must have and the Triforce.
Better believe it.
Gammon. What was that Gammon? Was it?
Ganon.
Ganon.
Ganondorf, yep.
You don't gotta tell me. My wallet is Legend of Zelda. One of my keychains is Link. And yeah, I've been a huge fan too. So.
I've seen that wallet.
So.
Yes, you have.
I was very impressed whenever the Wii came out with the Twilight Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how they did the motion capture where you actually have to, you have to swing to fight, and they really did a great job with how you have to move the control of the nunchuck to get the character to do something you want him to do.
Right.
One hand comes up for the shield, the other hand goes across the sword, or you're going to get taken out. Well, they've done the same thing again with Motion Plus, it looks like, for the Skyward Sword.
All right.
The exception there being that when they demoed it on stage, the creator of Nintendo and Zelda and the technology, Miyamoto, couldn't get the damn thing to work.
Welcome to the world of live presentations.
No. That's the world of Nintendo. I mean, I love Nintendo and I love their games, but this Wii Motion Plus crap and this Wii stuff, it's gimmicky and just not very good. To rebut your excitement, I love the Zelda games but this one really isn't doing it for me. I don't know. It seems kind of generic for a Zelda game. Maybe it's just me. It probably is just me.
Why do you got to tear people down, Brett?
I'm a hateful person.
Why do you got to tear your co-hosts down? We're all in this together.
What did I ever do to you?
That ain't what you said.
Okay. Where's the mute button? You know what? Well, maybe this will mute you. I was looking through some of the E3 stuff, and of course they talked about the Kinects, which I guess that was what Project Natal grew up into.
Yes.
And then they were talking about the PlayStation Move. They talked about the PlayStation Plus, which is their enhanced, $50 a year PlayStation Network thing. Yeah, don't care about any of it. I did, however, see a couple of interesting things. How many of you remember playing Robotron?
I don't think I ever played it, but I know what you're talking about.
Robotron was an old stand-up arcade game, and it had two joysticks. And one controlled the little robot's feet, and one controlled where he was shooting. And you didn't need a button because he was always shooting. And hordes and hordes and hordes of, I don't know, whatever little monsters were coming. And so basically what you would do is you would run around and you would just spray out like arcs of fire. And so you would clear a place so that you could run to it, and then the other guys would, the monsters would keep coming, and you'd end up, you know, shooting around in circles, and it was just crazy, but it was very fun. The trailer for Dead Nation was done live action, and it was dumber than all get out. But the gameplay videos, there was only a couple of seconds that they threw in there, was exactly this Robotron idea. You had a couple of guys standing there with some machine guns that were just firing, great, now I'm thinking in Spanish, a tope. They were firing a lot, you know, just spraying bullets everywhere. And there are just, you know, zombies like eight deep, you know, just closing in on them, and they're just blasting, you know, and they showed a couple of clips of that, and I immediately thought of Robotron. And if they do a good job with it, it could be extremely fun, because you know me and firepower and being able to just, I mean, because, you know, it's like one bullet, one zombie, one kill. And, you know, but you're spraying out, you know, 20, 30 bullets, and, you know, you're taking down 20, 30 zombies, but they're, you know, they're eight deep. So, you know, take out three rows in the front and guess what? Got five more, you know, and it's that kind of idea of a giant mindless horde, you know. You know, unlimited kind of ammo, and you just got to carve a path for yourself to move so that you're moving in between like these living lanes of enemies. That looked kind of fun. I'd love to see more gameplay video from that to see if it's kind of going to be any good. The second one, how many of you remember going to the movies and playing Rampage?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You get to play King Kong or Godzilla, or there was one.
Oh,
other
yes,
one.
yes.
And you would climb the buildings. Lizard. The lizard. No, was it? No, because that was Godzilla.
No, it was a werewolf or something.
It was like a werewolf thing, yeah.
Okay. A big giant werewolf. So, and you would climb the buildings and you would smash the buildings, and you could grab the people and you could eat them, and you could pick up the tanks who would come to attack you, and you could throw the tanks and smash them, and it was a side scroller, and it was just kind of fun because it was King Kong and Godzilla, and you were smashing a town. There is a game that is coming out in 2011 for the PlayStation 3 called, appropriately enough, Eat Them. And it looks like a comic book. It looks like that cel-shaded kind of thing from Borderlands, but a very comic booky style. You can create your monster in the monster lab. I've seen the typical Godzilla type monster, but then I've seen, you know, a Godzilla monster with four legs and tentacle arms, and I guess you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's a 3D world. You let them loose in this 3D world, and appropriately enough, they eat people. And then of course the tanks come out and attack, and it just showed them, you know, smashing buildings and picking up tanks and throwing tanks, and it just really looks like a next gen, you know, reboot of that idea. And it looked neat. And if they've got, like, please have four-player couch co-op. Like, oh my god. You know, you create your monster, hang out with your friends, you know, smash some buildings, destroy New York, whatever. Like, how could that not be fun?
It was the first
Agreed.
Time.
Yeah, it was the first time. Hopefully it'll be this time. So Eat Them and Dead Nation are two that, are coming out. You know, they could come out and they could be totally doo-doo, but the idea of them, you know, right now seems kind of interesting. I'm interested to see, you know, what we do with them. So, wow, that's some stuff from E3. Whew! But we're not done, are we?
All right. No, we're not.
Oh, good lord. Okay. So,
ooh.
What else do we got? Like, normally, okay, so we've done our reviews. We've done our.
I found one for us.
Kind of upcoming video games. What did you find?
Lord of the Rings: War in the North.
Oh, that yes. is a three-player loot fest, dungeon crawl loot fest game, made by the same guys that did Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath, right?
Yes.
Holy crap,
now,
you're kidding me.
It's amazing.
Holy crap, really?
I could really read the same article. I could be reading the same article as you right now on the internet. But the fact is, I already know about that game.
Oh.
And I want to play it too. And when, tell us about that one, Brandon.
Well, I'm still looking into it. It's one that I was just skimming through some of the E3 videos, and I found it, and I'm just like, ooh, this looks good. And thinking of, I love Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
I mean, I've bought every other collector's editions there are, but.
Yes. As a matter of fact, don't you play, what's that other nerdy hobby pastime thingy, Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, yes, with a little twist of,
Middle Earth.
Lord of the Rings added to it. Middle Earth added to it.
And you play one of those frou-frou Gondorian warlord guys with the feathers on his helmet.
Don't
just
mess
saying,
with the
if you think feathers make you, like, buff, like, just saying.
I do.
Don't mess with the feathers. I got them from a great eagle, thank you.
So, okay, so do we know when this game's coming out? I hear 2011.
I don't have a date that I can find.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really hoping, because all they're doing now is showing their initial concept previews.
Right.
And some of the animation to it. I mean, I'm hoping it is a couch co-op, a three-player couch co-op.
It is. It is.
Yes.
I don't understand why they didn't make it four.
True. That would make it better, but...
I really don't.
That does.
But I like the couch. I like it just because it says couch co-op. I'll take it.
And if this is the same people that did Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath, we played Champions of Norrath.
Yes.
So much. As a matter of fact, I think that our other cousin's kids ended up like wearing the discs for flip-flops or whatever because they got used up. Like, played it so much that the disc literally got used up from taking it in and out and whatever. And they went back and bought another one so that we could keep playing, because playing through it, like, four times isn't enough. So, if that's those people, like, I'm all for it. God, we played Champions of Norrath so much. I still have Champions of Norrath and Call to Arms on my shelf. Like, I can look across the room and see them.
Now, what I'm really hoping is that...
What? But you know what? One of you guys is going to have to change your name, because there's too many B's and too many R's all up in this.
All right, just call me Grandmaster G. That will do that. Don't scoff.
You were saying Grandmaster G.
Thank you for playing along with my idiocy.
Okay.
I was just saying, on the opposite spectrum, you know, I played the hell out of those Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance games, those two. They were... And then they came out with one that was Justice League themed, which was also awesome. And something else, maybe, but they were all great.
You talking about Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
No. It was Justice League something. It was for the PS2, and I think the Xbox and GameCube. It was Justice League. It was, it was the same people.
The
game and...
In that same genre, because you had, like, Baldur's Gate, that was two player, right? And
yeah.
And the EverQuest games, Champions of Norrath and Call to Arms, those were EverQuest games. Those were four player. Awesome.
Yes.
X-Men, the X-Men 2, four player. Awesome. Brandon and I played tons of that as well. I remember playing as Nightcrawler, dude, teleporting through walls. Like, hello, it doesn't get any more fun than that. Like, hey, there's a chest on the other side of that wall. Yeah, I just got it. Thanks for pointing it out. Just got it. I'm back now. So this idea of, like, the couch co-op has really taken a beating lately, and I'm excited about that game, and I hope it's good. I'd love to see more. You know, this whole online thing has really gotten away from everybody. As a matter of fact, have you seen the Coleman commercials on TV?
Mm-mm.
But for Coleman lanterns?
Oh, not, yeah, take it back.
We're not saying that Twitter and Facebook got their idea from us.
Oh.
But we've been bringing people together for 4,000 years. Fire. But they're talking about, you know, camping and the...
Getting
everyone back together.
Right, and
yeah.
Like, please, like, you video game publishers, like, because I know you listen to this podcast religiously, like, give me some couch co-op. Ubisoft, man, I know you guys are, like, waiting there with bated breath for my every word. Give me some couch co-op. Like, just do it. Just go, just stop listening to the podcast right now, Ubisoft, and go do it. Get to work. Chop, chop.
Also, quit being jerks about your anti-piracy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Anywho.
We're going to talk about that, like, the next time we come across it. So, because I am the consumer, and I will spend my money somewhere else if you piss me off. Okay, so, God, we got to start trying to wrap this up, but there's so much that came out of E3.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's so much more,
touch
too.
On mine.
Yes, Brett. Assassin's Creed. I'm sorry. Grandmaster G. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Talk to me about that.
Pretty simple. It's Assassin's Creed 2.5. It's not 3, contrary to popular belief. It's, you know, it continues Ezio's story from the second game. So the single player looks great. It looks really cool, and they've added a lot of different gameplay modes. You have, you know, tower defense kind of stuff. You have all sorts of really cool stuff. The thing that really intrigues me, though, and this is why this is our third segment, is the multiplayer. It has, I don't know how many players it can support, but it looks to be a lot. And the entire multiplayer scenario is you and a bunch of people are going around the city trying to stealthily assassinate each other.
Nice.
And it looks freaking awesome. It you know, they implement a lot of new stuff into the gameplay. There's all sorts of tricks and traps you can spring, and it just looks so good. I'm floored by how good it looks, because I'm not really a multiplayer kind of person.
Well, Assassin's Creed 2, everybody knows that I loved that game.
Yeah, me too.
To get more, and Ezio is just, I don't know what else I can say. He's just dreamy. He's dreamy. You know.
I'm actually replaying it as we speak. Not now, but today.
Brett, man, how many times have I told you that you can't be playing the video games while we're podcasting?
Huh? What?
God.
I didn't hear you say playing
it's
games.
Just like you've got a total lack of focus, man.
Haha, you got caught. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like me, like last podcast when I was on the, what was it, the Dragon Age servers, and that stupid dog started barking at me, and I'm like, ah! And you guys are like, what? Because you couldn't hear him? That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have any idea when Ubisoft is coming out with Brotherhood?
2011. It's coming out this holiday. It is.
Most of them are coming out. A lot of them are coming out in fall. Yeah.
All right. Well, because if you look at the website, and for those of you who don't know, that's h2mmo.com. I just put out the June releases today, and the June releases are absolutely horrible. Absolutely, like there's a few things. So Ace Combat Joint Assault on the PSP. Kind of interested in that. Crackdown 2 for the 360. Despicable Me, a movie tie-in, so you know that's going to suck. The one that I really wanted to talk about, everybody knows StarCraft II Wings of Liberty is coming out on July 27th, but the one that I really want to talk about that really caught my eye for this month's releases is the Bachelor video game for the Wii and the DS. And I believe that the comment in the post was really WTF. We need a Bachelor video game. The Bachelor video game, because the TV show is not enough. There is not enough Bachelor. You cannot put enough Bachelor in that television box. Because they're not boxes anymore. They're just kind of flat panels. But maybe if it was a box, you could put enough. But you can't put enough in there. You can't contain this. It's got to go to your Wii and your DS. For when you're on the go and you have to have your Bachelor fix. Eat
I know,
it up.
I find myself often saying that. You know, I was at the airport the other day and I was like, man, I really want to play The Bachelor on the DS. It's a shame they did make a game out of it.
You're taking a trip.
And then I killed myself.
You're taking a trip this weekend, aren't you?
Another one, yeah.
If you had The Bachelor on your DS, your entire travel experience could be enhanced.
Whole thing. Enhanced by dog crap.
I cannot believe that somebody you know what? I can. There's a recession on, and they put this out because some idiot somewhere decided that this was a good idea, and he started throwing money at people. And I'm sure their first reaction was like, you are yanking my chain. But when he came back all serious, they were like, I need to put some food in the fridge. Let me work on this game. I cannot believe it. God. You bet you didn't see that one at E3. Jesus. Castlevania. Can we talk about a real video game, please? Yeah. Just for a few minutes.
We could. So yeah, Castlevania. What is it called? Castlevania Harmony of Despair. They name it that because it's the HD Harmony of Despair, and it's HD because it's for the Xbox 360. It's one of their arcade games.
That's clever.
No, it's not.
Not as clever as The Bachelor.
But it looks. You know what? It's weird to see a Castlevania game. It's the first multiplayer Castlevania game. I think it's up to four people, or maybe five. And you pick different characters from different Castlevania series, and it's a fun little side-scrolling. I would compare it to Smash Brothers, but that's not quite what it is. But it's got that four-player on the screen, you know, co-op mechanism that looks a lot of fun. You know, you need more than one person to complete certain objectives and certain puzzles for certain levels, and it just looks really fun. And maybe it'll be terrible, but it looks promising at the moment. So I'm excited about it.
Well, cool. That is, is it couch co-op or is it just online?
It might be both.
Okay. Well,
I'd have to look.
If it's couch, then, you know, I'm like, I'm there. I still haven't played Lost Planet, but it's doo-doo. Well, that's not doo-doo. It's not a huge flaming doo-doo. But it's not that great either, I hear. But the multiplayer is supposed to be pretty good. Alright, so let's close this up with some real MMO news from an MMO. Blizzard is releasing StarCraft 2. No, oh, wait, that, wait, MMO. Okay. They announced that in World of Warcraft that they were going to pull out the Path of the Titans and this whole guild talent thing that they talked about at BlizzCon last year. Guild talent's like, if your guildmaster put points into the, proper guild talent slots, then you could get things like monsters would drop extra gold in raids, or you could mass res everyone after a wipe. Crazy things like that. Blizzard came out and said, yeah, hey, remember that? Not so much. What they're going with instead is a guild leveling system. It's going to have 25 levels, 1 through 25. We don't know how it's going to work yet, but your guild is going to become a faction in the game, like all the other factions, so that a new person can't come in and then just automatically, you know, get all the rewards, you know, get cool gear and different things like that that you could buy from, I guess, your guild store. I don't know if you're going to get a guild store or what, a guild vendor. I guess you'd have to. But they can't come in. They're going to have to level up their reputation with you, and then once, you know, the higher their rep goes up, the better rewards they can buy based on your guild's level and stuff like that. So that's an interesting concept of them putting a guild in as you're going to be a faction now. And I've been in my guild for years, so they better max my faction rep out real quick. Like, I'm the guild master, fool. I got all the reputations. Got it all. Anyway, I got my second Violet Proto Drake in WoW. Everybody knows that it takes a year to get a Violet Proto Drake. You have to take part in all of the holidays, complete all of the achievements for all of the holidays listed in the Emeta achievement. What a long, strange trip it's been. So this is the second time I've done it. Yeah, really waiting for Star Wars to come out. But the thing I really wanted to talk about is StarCraft 2. No, Blizzard's Real ID system based on their Battle.net website, and the Battle.net idea has been released, and WoW, it is live, it's active. I've got a few Real ID friends from my guild now. Basically what Real ID is it's cross-realm, cross-faction, cross-game chat. If I'm on a Horde tune and one of my Real ID friends comes onto WoW and they're on an Alliance tune, I can still talk to them, doesn't matter. Later this month, if Brett's playing WoW, because he does. But I'm playing Wings of Liberty, the StarCraft II, and we're real ID friends. He'll be able to see that in WoW. I'll be able to see him in StarCraft II, and we'll still be able to talk to each other. Now, in order to get this thing to work, you have to know someone's battle account name. So you have to know the that email address that you used for your battle account. So if you're getting into this Real ID stuff, only get into it with people that you know and trust.
Why is that?
Well, because one, you're giving them your email, so they'll be able to email you all over the damn place. Two, they're going to be able to see you in any Blizzard game from now until. And your Blizzard Battle.net account so far is like, you register all your games with that. Like, you'd have to get like a totally different account with a different email and a different password for them not to be able to see you. I mean, you can always remove them, but once, you know, like me and Trish and my wife, we're real ID friends, but there's no getting away. It doesn't matter what character I'm on. It doesn't matter what game I'm in. And, of course, you know, this is going to get even bigger when they come out with Diablo. And then if they've got WoW and their next-gen MMO thing going, you know, they're going to have, in the future, they're going to have a lot of games. And this is going to be the thread running through them all, is this Real ID system. So, something to think about. Do I really want to let Brett and Brandon have my Real ID info for my Battle.net account?
Yeah, I'm only take like $500 out of your account. It's okay.
I don't know.
Five? Man, you're running cheap. I was thinking higher.
Oh,
I'll be nice.
You guys are horrible. You're horrible.
And?
And?
I'm family. What's your point?
Ah! Okay, that's it. That is all I have. Do you guys have anything else that you want to mention before we go?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, well then...
Yep.
I think that's it. I want to thank... Oh! I have a surprise for everyone. We are now on the iTunes.
Ooh.
I went and I put our podcast name on a sticky note and I navigated to the iTunes webpage and I stuck it up there. Now, if you go to h2mmo.com and you look at our last podcast post and this one, you will see that not only do we have a link to our own RSS feed, but we also have a link to the H2MMO podcast on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes and you go to the podcast section of iTunes and you type in H2MMO, you will get the H2MMO podcast. It's all right there waiting for you to download onto your iPod or your iPhone or any other device that you have that's got a small I prefix to the front of it, and you can listen to us that way. Please feel free to leave a comment and tell us how awesome we are. If you leave a really horrible comment, then we'll make voodoo dolls and
we'll F you up.
Send a sternly worded email to people about stuff.
I'll come to your house and kidnap your children.
God, Brett. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please feel free to contact. Or if you need a therapist or a recommendation for a good therapist in the Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida area, please contact us at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com. The website is h2mmo.com. You can leave a comment on any of our posts. And if you're, not an internet advertiser, we'll get back to you. I promise. Again, we want to thank the Blind Monkeys for supplying the music that you hear at the beginning and end of this podcast. I am just about to crack up. I can't do this. You can find out more about the Blind Monkeys at www.blindmonkeys.com. Monkeys is spelled M-O-N-K-E-E-Z. If you're in the St. Petersburg area, St. Petersburg, Florida, not Russia, if you're in the St. Petersburg, Florida area, please check out their website to see when they're playing next, because they are always out and about, and they'll be very happy to see you at their next show. So thank you for listening, and we will catch everyone in just a few weeks when we do it all over again and talk about some of the really cool games that were released this month. I can't wait to get my hands on The Bachelor.
I'm sure you can't.
Oh, my God. Okay, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Or not. Bye.
Bye.
Walking down on Friday night, all the ladies look so bright. Me and the boys look for fine, does our dress warm and cut my side. It's hot late and I'm feeling weak. I need one with me extreme. We're out and I'm feeling strong. But it's dream mine, it won't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on the air. Talking dirty, the words she likes to hear. Yeah. Head on down to drop in. We're just here to for sale. We play my cards, aces high. She likes game, give it a try. It's hot late, not feeling weak. And I got that one with me extreme. Yeah. We're talking dirty, the words she likes to hear.